This episode of the Dead TV Podcast is brought to you by Wicked Chronic, located on 185 Worcester Street in Natick, Massachusetts. Open from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., Monday through Saturday, closed on Sundays. They can be reached at 508-545-8105. Wicked Chronic in Natick, Massachusetts is a boutique-styled retail shop that caters to all of your chronic and Wiccan or witchcraft needs. Go on down, speak to Beverly, check out their website, wickedchronic.vendorcommerce.com. For more information on how you can get hooked up with some of the unusual and weird items that they happen to have on sale there, tell them Dr. Chris sent you and check them out today. You are listening to the Dead TV Podcast, a podcast dedicated to canceled television shows and cartoons in the science fiction, fantasy, and horror genre. I am your host, Dr. Chris.
And I'm Mr. Seneca.
And in the studio with us from the band The Deadites, the Trick or Treat podcast radio show, also based here in Massachusetts, we have Michael Ravenshadow.
Bombaleo, Dr. Chris. It's good to be back with you and the lovely mistress.
Thank you for joining us, Michael Ravenshadow, for this unusual commercialized cartoon series, Swamp Thing. And even though Mr. Zeneca is not in the studio with us, we'll put some pictures up on the Facebook page. Michael Ravenshadow brought with us some original Swamp Thing action figures from his toy box. These things are in mint condition, too.
I'm an only child, so I took care of my toys, and God bless my parents. The fact that I'm 40 years old, they still let me keep my toys at their house. So thank you, Mom and Dad.
This Swamp Thing figure, the one I'm holding in my hand, which has the extendable hand, which, man, that motor still really works, which is kind of weird considering motors inside toys like this are usually, like, get so hard up they snap as soon as you try and use them. Was this a Kenner Power... what was it called?
It was Kenner. It was the fine folks at Kenner. They don't screw around.
But was this one of the power... What was the power...
Not
the
superpowers.
Superpowers,
yes. Okay. Because it's the way it looks like it could team up with Superman and Batman in the superpowers line.
Definitely. That's kind of probably why I got it when I was a kid. I was probably... I think either 13 or 14 or probably even older than I'm willing to admit when I got these toys back in the early 90s. I was 25.
He also has Arcade, the villain of Swamp Thing, in every iteration from comic books to cartoon to the television series, which was on the USA Network, which maybe we'll cover one day. And also Dr. Demento?
Demo,
okay.
Who also had like a roadblock Etrigan thing where apparently he rhymes all the time.
Yes.
Which wasn't lost on me.
No, at least we liked it when Roadblock did it on G.I. Joe. I think he had some of the best, Roadblock had some of the best rhymes when it became the greatest road trip story of all time between him and the snake form of Cobra Commander in G.I. Joe the movie.
Hey, dude, what's that crazy sound? Tell me, dude, what's going down?
I was once a man.
Yeah, and he starts saying, so whatever you say is making me crazy, and he rhymes something with crazy. And don't forget, Roadblock was also blind, so he needed Cobra Commander as his eye.
That's a show. Put that on Netflix.
Yes!
I want Snurpit Commander and Roadblock in an apartment.
The Other Adventures of Roadblock and Cobra Commander in snake form.
I wish you watched that cartoon.
Oh my god, I would totally watch that.
I'd watch the hell out of that every day. But we're gonna watch the hell out of something even worse than that.
Swamp Thing,
the animated series. We are going to admit it, get it out of the way right now, because we're going to reference the shit out of it later on through the show, but I don't want to make the entire podcast filled with like, oh, well, that's a toy. This was just made to sell a Swamp Thing line of action figures, people.
Yeah, I actually was looking at the line of Swamp Thing action figures through Google, and there's only 5 episodes of the show, so it got me thinking, like, what came first, the action figure line or the animated series? What was the excuse for the other?
Correct. And, as always, Mr. Zeneca has the episode synopsis and title for us for the first episode.
Yes, the first episode of Swamp Thing the cartoon is called The Un-Men Unleashed. It was aired on April 20th, 1991. Believing that Swamp Thing can grant him immortality, Anton Arcane turns 3 swamp thugs into human-animal hybrids, the Un-Men, and sends them to capture him. Instead, they capture 2 lost boys, so Swamp Thing and his friends intervene.
Okay, so I always love to do this at the very beginning of a show we started. We did it for Kindred the Embrace and Constantine. In 1991, specifically April, I believe, if my memory is serving me correctly, if this was a Saturday, I don't know if this was a Saturday or not, I'd have to look at a like time travel a calendar a bit, but I was in the 5th grade, so I was in the same, I was actually the same age as my son is now, and in the 5th grade, and I believe I was probably on spring vacation, if I remember correctly, and I'm actually looking at the calendar now, and that was... That was a Saturday.
It was a Saturday, because I'll peel back the curtain. I recorded it. I had my VHS tape, and I was very excited about it. Actually, can we edit this, please? But I did.
Were you aging yourself a bit?
Yes.
What were you doing on April 20th, 1991, Mr. Zeneca?
Let's see. That was, 91. I was just about to graduate from middle school.
Okay.
I was not aware of this cartoon show at the time, but I was definitely aware of the action figures. I think I did have Weed Killer and one of the Swamp Thing iterations.
And how old were you, Michael?
I was probably 91. Oh, shit. So I think I was probably 14 or 15, actually.
If my memory serves me correctly, I think I watched this on a Saturday morning after going to the local drugstore to pick up my newest issue of The Amazing Spider-Man, and then I came home after watching this, and I think I had discovered it was during a marathon on Comedy Central. This was the first time I actually discovered another show that they were running reruns of, Mystery Science Theater 3000. So I got Swamp Thing and MST3K in the same day. And I will admit, this is probably my first introduction to Swamp Thing. I didn't know anything about him. I was only reading Spider-Man comic books at the time of this happening.
To be perfectly honest, I actually thought that Swamp Thing was a member of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles team that I just didn't see the episode for.
They did have a character called the Muck Man, so maybe...
I know, he looks very similar, except he's got more garbage on him.
Yes, and speaking of Muck Man, I think that's actually mentioned in the first episode, Muck Man, and I made a note, it might be the first or second episode, that Muck Man is also the name of the amalgam of the Sandman and Hydro Man, 2 Spider-Man villains who got merged together in an issue of Amazing Spider-Man.
Wow, that's really fucking creative.
Yeah, and in fact, it's because of this story that Sandman actually became a good guy for a while in the Marvel comic book series, because that incident traumatized him so much, he was like, I gotta stop doing crime stuff.
Well, I was a mark for that, because he joined the Avengers for a while.
Yeah, and in fact, the issue that actually signifies him becoming a hero, it was an issue of Marvel 2-in-1, where him and the Thing are at a bar banging beer clear glasses together, and the Thing's like, here's to you, or Mural, you know, whatever the Bud Light commercial slogan was.
Yeah, he was in Silver Sable
this
in the Wild
Pack.
This
Mud's for You or something. Yeah, you're right, he was.
This Mud's for You, I guess, if you will.
Yeah. Sorry. And of course, speaking of Marvel 2-in-1, there was a big announcement this week that it's coming back in December.
Is that a thing?
Search for the Fantastic Four, Part 1.
I think Fox has them.
Yeah. So all the Thing has to do is go over to the Fox studio and go, where is the Fantastic Four? It's clobbering time.
It's like Han Solo. We're looking for Han. He's on fucking Tatooine, guys. We know where he's going. Like, what are you... I don't know what's taking so long.
Does anyone know what the theme song to Swamp Thing happens to be a parody of? Anyone want to take a wild guess?
Well, they play it, like, constantly, so that would be Wild Thing.
Yes. And who did and Wild Thing?
Oh, didn't write that one in my notes here.
I knew that was going to stump everybody because I didn't write it down either. Come on, Michael Ravenchild, you're part of a band.
Yes, Wild Thing Vaughn from the Major League did that. Charlie Sheen, no.
Yeah, you're right. That is in the movie Major League.
The Troggs.
Yeah, obviously it was the Troggs.
Yes, yeah, of course.
Everyone
yeah.
knows that.
Yeah, by the way, if you type in Wild Things, you're going to come up with that awesome movie starring Denise Richards and that chick from Scream.
Yes, it was a great 3 minutes.
It's a very sexy film.
Yes, yeah, so the greatest on-screen lesbian kiss ever.
I fucking cringe.
Between two heterosexual actresses, by the way, before it became like mainstream to make lesbian movies.
They're gay for pay.
Anyway, so Dr. Demo captures a couple kids using his toy to sell other toys, along with Skin Man and
Weed Killer.
Yeah, Weed Killer. Yeah, these names. You sure they're not part of the Toxic Crusaders?
Oh, my Lord.
And then they're, of course, rescued by token Native American, who's as white as you could possibly get in a children's cartoon.
I will say
but yet
that...
drawn exactly like a G.I. Joe character.
Exactly, with his blue hair, by the way. Did anyone notice that the shading of certain scenes of animation was blue?
That would be Tomahawk. Who wasn't at all racist in the first episode.
No,
his portrayal,
absolutely not.
Really, it was pretty much like, ugh, Kimosabi. Like, it might as well have been as bad as that.
Yeah, yeah. God, they dropped that in later episodes. He no longer talks like me, speak him like me, need spoke signal to summon great white bear to come down from mountain.
I'm so glad they dropped that vocal iteration because that was so annoying.
Oh my God, yeah. I swear to God, I think Tomahawk and Bayou Jack
was a Konami game from the original NES.
Bayou Jack and Tomahawk probably were leftover rejects from the Rambo animated series.
There you go. That was my joy back. Let's watch that show.
Yeah, they ran for 72 episodes. Can you believe that?
They got ninjas. I had those toys too.
Oh my God, those toys were awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you need. Market a violent rated R movie to children. They did that with the Rambo and RoboCop and the Terminator.
Aliens.
Aliens, Predator, Total Recall. Those are the movies that children are seeing. Moving along. What other notes do we have for this episode, Ms. Bezenica?
Well, this is the first time that we see Abigail Arcane, which is the stepdaughter of Anton Arcane.
Now,
her mother's not shown at any time during these first three episodes.
Correct. Now, in the comic books, Michael Ravenshadow, you read the original Swamp Thing comic books by I mentioned this before in the radio horror show I do, and I'm sure you probably covered it on Trick or Treat Radio. Yes. Len Wein, the co-creator of Swamp Thing, has joined Bernie Wrightson in the Great Art Gallery in the Sky. Bullpen in the sky? Bullpen.
But yes. I'm surprised this didn't kill him, quite frankly, the animated series. it's a testament to his fortitude that he stuck around this long.
But man, their credits show up right in the beginning of that theme song, too.
They did.
Swamp Thing, created by Len Wein and Bernie Wrightson.
Well, here's the thing. I don't mean to derail us even further, but...
That's okay.
What blows me away is Swamp Thing got a huge push, right?
In
the 90s, like... And listen, and I'm going to date myself much like I did in high school, and go back. We had the Christopher Reeve movies, right?
Yeah.
The Adam West movies.
Yeah.
And for some reason, Swamp Thing got a huge push. He had the Wes Craven film.
Yeah.
With Adrian Barbeau.
Yeah. Dick Durick.
Dick Durick.
Also the dearly departed Dick Durick.
Did he pass?
Yeah, Dick Durick died a few years ago.
Really?
Yeah, in fact, just also, Mr. Zetica, in case you didn't know this, Dick Durick... Unlike, multiple people who played Superman and Spider-Man and Wolverine, Hugh Jackman's the only one who played Wolverine, Dick Durick is the only actor, probably next to Hugh Jackman, to play the iconic character in every single iteration, live action. Dick Durick was Swamp Thing in the movie, The Return of Swamp Thing, and all 70 episodes of the USA Network television series.
Yeah, it blows me away. So, like, he had two films. One was kind of a horror movie, which my first exposure, I was scared. I thought it was like a straight-up horror movie. And then the Return of Swamp Thing was very campy, right?
It was very played for comedy.
I mean, I loved it.
So I'm thinking he had a mustache in that.
He had a mustache, and there was a very weird dream sequence involving
a phallic Heather Locklear.
Yeah, a phallic plant thing. I mean, Mistress, you'll love it. You got to check this out.
They even did commercials where Swamp Thing would come out of the swamp and teach kids about the environment as Dick Durick.
It was the best.
Yeah.
And the live-action TV series. Now, keep in mind, this was at, like, the start of the Vertigo era, right?
Yeah.
Like, this was, like, the Alan Moore stuff.
Because Sandman had just debuted, like, 1989, along with, like, Constantine's book.
Yeah. So funny that at the height of all this stuff where Swamp Thing was really being dominant, the British invasion of comics, it was really...
Yeah.
It was a new format.
Alongside,
book.
Like, Judge Dredd and...
Right. I mean, Swamp Thing was the house that Vertigo built, or however you want to phrase it. Like, and then you do...
We came from the House of Mystery, right? Or the House of Secrets.
Well, fair.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was pre-Vertigo. It was a new format book. It was for mature readers.
Yep.
So while this was going on, then they make this Ninja Turtle Toxic Crusaders knockoff.
Yeah, basically. That's exactly the way to put it. Did you ever see the Swamp Thing movies and TV series, Mistress?
I used to actually watch the TV series quite regularly. I never saw the return of the Swamp Thing.
Okay.
But I did see the original movie Swamp Thing.
If you guys weren't aware, you Michael and you, Mr. Zeneca, and our listening audience, Swamp Thing, the movie by the late Wes Craven, a lot of people dead involved with Swamp Thing. The Curse of Swamp Thing. They say this curse of Superman. It's the Curse of Swamp Thing. It came out like a year or two ago from Scream Factory. Blu-ray, fully restored, bonus material, commentary with Wes Craven.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
So worth a pickup. You can usually find it probably for even new for like 14, 13. I mean, let's face it, it's Swamp Thing.
Yeah, right.
It's not
that big
of a movie that they're going to like price gouge you for like, you know, like a Blu-ray copy of like Halloween 2 or something.
There probably isn't a $40 steelbook for it.
Yeah, no, definitely not. But Shout Factory, who owns Scream Factory, was the company that put out the USA Network series on three DVD sets for the three seasons. This has only ever been released in the UK.
Interesting.
So if you do want to watch it, you probably can find it on some website that does videos. That's all I'm going to say.
We're sorry, England. Sorry about that.
Yeah. So other things that are mentioned in this episode, when the Unmen capture the kids, is the trans dancer.
Transducer.
Thank you. The transducer is an actual little lab playset that you could get that would put your toy in there. You could flip it around and it becomes like another toy.
What I'm curious with, so it opens up, the plot of the first one has Dr. Arcane, you know, modifying his unmen. But they were kind of modified before, like, they didn't really explain how they got to be the monsters already.
Yeah. Did you notice that, Mr. Seneca? They keep coming monsters in every episode.
Oh, yeah. It's like, in the first episode, they get put into the transducer and it's supposed to, you know, rise up their evil powers and make them more powerful. Then they turn into these like creature slash mutants. Then in episode 2, they're back to the way they were. And I'm like, okay, I was watching this with my 9-year-old son, so he was like, what happened to them? And I'm like, well, it probably was a temporary effect. And then they go in it again.
Yeah.
And they turn into the same creatures.
The one thing.
And then Swamp Thing actually has the power to turn them back. But yet, when his friend gets turned mutant, like, he doesn't have the power to turn him back like he did the others. It's really confusing, and it's really weird. And both I and my son were completely confused by the level of mutation that you can actually get or have relieved by Swamp Thing.
Other vehicles in the episode, just to quickly go over them before we get to episode 2, the Bog Blaster and the Marsh Buggy.
Yeah.
Yep. The Frog Trapper, which is what the kids drive around in. By the way, did anyone think that the black kid reminded you of Kwame from the Planet Tears?
I'm actually concerned. I feel that Bayou Jack might have had an illegitimate child. I feel that there's a certain similarity there.
What, with the one female that was on the show? By the way, is a teenager in this, but somehow she's like into Swamp Thing?
Yeah. And I also, too, if we can go back to the first episode, I like that all the scientific technology they have in the basement, and then when they want to lock up the kids, they just put them in the attic.
Yeah.
And not even like a secret trap prison attic, just an attic. Like, there's boxes.
And the thing that basically Arcane wants Swamp Thing for when he was Alec Holland was a cure for world hunger. But it's actually, what he was developing was a cure for world hunger, but what ended up happening is he became, like, immortal, and that's what Arcane wants Swamp Thing's body for, so he can unlock the key to immortality.
Swamp Thing is basically an earth elemental at this point.
Yeah, basically. I mean, he eventually becomes that over time in various continuity.
Where he becomes one with the green, which is kind of like the force, but with like plants.
If you will. Swamp Thing recently showed up in the Constantine Rebirth storyline. He was in Superman a couple of times, actually, which is kind of funny. Superman Rebirth. And then he just, as of this past Wednesday, comic book day, Swamp Thing was in The Metal number 2. He was working alongside Batman to stop the Justice League. Batman was trying to get to what he believed to be the good MacGuffin of the story. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the story, you find out it's actually the bad MacGuffin, which unleashes the Dark Knights.
Okay.
The demonic, evil personifications from alternate dimension of the black universe of the Justice League. Long story short about that, without getting into what the fuck The Metal is about.
Sure, it'll all work out.
Because that's a whole podcast to itself, if you've read it. Everything gets wrapped up in a nice, neat little bow at the end of episode 1. Every episode gets wrapped up in a neat little bow. So we're going to go to episode 2 with Mr. Zeneca's synopsis for episode 2.
Okay, episode 2. To Live Forever. April 27th, 1991, I think.
Okay, you know, what's weird is the Wikipedia dates have them all over the place. I think the first episode of Swamp Thing, according to other websites, now IMDb lists it as in April, but this would make a lot more sense to sell a line of monster toys, that the first episode of Swamp Thing aired as a Halloween special on October 31st, 1990.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm getting conflicting dates on websites, but we're going to go with the Wiki ones now. So, To Live Forever aired, according to Wiki, on April 20th, 1991. Dr. Arcane and his unmen travel to the Amazon rainforest in search of the trees that never die, unquote, and enslaves a local Indian tribe to harvest their sap.
Okay, this is the episode where we team up with the superhero Native Americans.
Yes.
Tomahawk people.
I was actually very concerned about how they were going to get their toys or their vehicles to the rainforest, which I'm very glad they were able to explain.
Yeah, by the way, all the vehicles, are they running on solar radiation? Because wouldn't they be emitting carbon emissions that would be killing and destroying the swamp that Swamp Thing is so pissy and moaning about in every episode? Just pointing that out.
I don't know. Maybe it's biodiesel.
Yes, exactly. Pointing out the elephant in the room.
In this episode, they only actually show two members of the tribe. Pico and his blind shaman grandfather. So that's the only two people of this tribe that we ever see. And they think that Swamp Thing is kind of the god of the forest. And you know, sent to them to help them defeat the evil forces. Which
yeah.
is kind of true.
Also, I got to point out, did anyone else notice, when did raccoon poaching become a thing? Don't you usually poach, like, endangered species? The raccoon population are like cats and other rodents. They breed like fucking crazy. They're never going to become extinct. Ever.
I just think they had an animator that could do a really, really cute raccoon, and they just kind of went with it.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, what creatures live in a swamp that could become endangered? Not alligators, right? Because they can lay a couple dozen eggs, usually.
Certain types of birds, I think.
Next time we do this recording, we'll have a swamp expert on the show with us.
Yes.
But I'm like, I'm literally lacking my brain, and I'm no Animal Planet expert. I only own a cat. I only know the basics about animals, but I'm trying to think of, like, what freaking animal in a swamp would be on the endangered species list, and I'm trying to think maybe a bat, but in 1990, no, bats are not on the endangered species list, because that fungus that's killing them right now wasn't even found out about until the last few years. So you're right, Mr. Zeneca. It's probably just like, let's just animate something cute and fuzzy that Swamp Thing could be like, oh, it's okay, friends.
Yeah.
You can live inside me when it's wintertime. And Swamp Thing like opened his chest and a bunch of rabid raccoons come crawling out.
We do have to mention, though, that the theme song changes from episode to episode.
Yes.
Sometimes it's actually the parody of the Wild Thing as it was recorded. And then in my version, episode 2 actually has a more guitar rockish, impromptu feel to the Wild Thing song. Kind of weird, but it doesn't stick with the entire series. It kind of goes back and forth.
Another thing I think we should mention, that since we're recording a bunch of these episodes at once, unlike our normal, the way we do things on the Dead TV podcast, we do it episode by episode. We should go over some of the talent that worked on Swamp Thing, including the voice of Swamp Thing himself, Len Carlson, whose career goes back to 1937 until he passed away in 2006.
I was trying to think, what did he do before?
Okay, before Swamp Thing, he worked on Tales... Well, actually, this was after Swamp Thing. Tales from the Crypt Keeper. He was Injun Joe in a couple of those episodes.
I'm sure that was not racist at all.
Yeah, no.
I'm sure that was...
He was the biggest threat to the X-Men and other mutants, Senator Robert Kelly, on the Fox animated X-Men TV series, which is why the voice sounds so familiar.
Yep.
If you listen to Robert Kelly on that show, he sounded just like Swamp Thing.
Okay.
He was the voice of the mayor in the town that Beetlejuice lived in. He was in Police Academy, the series. He was Captain Harris, who was always, like, the villain of the Police Academy movies.
In the animated series?
Who was always going, Proctor! Yeah. Yes. He was the voice of Ganon in The Legend of Zelda. Where,
really?
Yeah, where Link's always like, excuse me, princess.
Oh, yeah. I hated Link in that show.
Yeah, he was the voice of various actors on RoboCop. He was in one episode of War of the Worlds, the TV series.
Interesting.
Something I told Mr. Zeneca we would get to at some point in the future.
Eventually.
Yes. He was on Cops, which was... Dun, 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 dun.
Fighting crime in a future time.
Yes.
Don't tell me, baby.
and it just goes on and on. You can check his IMDb for the list of everything he was in. I thought maybe we'd do a couple actors per episode that we talk about, because there's only five episodes of this animated show, and there's at least 12 people that worked on the show for voice actors. And then there's Harvey Atkins, who just died this year. I do remember hearing this. He was a longtime voiceover actor who was on Law & Order as a judge several times. He was on... The Adventures of Sam and Felix, The Adventures of Tintin, The Adventures of the Super Mario Brothers. He was the King Koopa.
Oh.
And this guy played our good buddy Tomahawk.
Ooh.
And he was a white man.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm pretty sure. I kind of got a feeling that Bayou Jack was also Caucasian, I feel.
Correct. What notes do you have for this episode, Mr. Zeneca?
Ooh, I have some information about the Xingu tribe.
Yes, that was the one thing I wanted to get to. Please enlighten us about the Xingu tribe and if they even are real.
Okay. Well, the tree that Dr. Arcane is actually trying to go for is called the Xingu tree. Well, there is no Xingu tree, but there is a Xingu tribe. The Xingu tribe actually live in the Amazon jungle, and they still do. It's a small tribe, but they are surviving, and they do not wear clothing.
Nice.
The only things that they will wear is kind of a belt, and then they have a knee protection. I guess you need that, you know, when you're searching around the jungle. And women wear these necklaces. They actually have a very rich culture, and they have a lot of medicinal technology that has been studied by researchers all over the world. According to their body color, you know, the types of paints that they use, it's a way to give them differences between the animals, and that's part of their belief. So their legs are marked and using tools, and they have some sort of scarification rituals as well. Very interesting. I implore everyone to take a look at them online. There's some videos on YouTube of them in their daily habits, as long as you're not a prude about nudity. But it's very interesting. So at least they got the name from the general region. And that's pretty much the only thing that's accurate about this entire episode.
Well, at least they did their research in some way.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty impressed by that. Can we get someone from the tribe on the phone? Can we for the next episode?
Yes. Olive, you are on the air. How did we offend you?
And the way that they were drawn in the Swamp Thing cartoon show is actually not that far off from how they typically look. You know, the hairstyle that little Piku has, you know, kind of a chop cut with straight edges.
Yes,
that's really
Piku.
The way that they wear their hair.
Oh boy!
So I'm fascinated now. So somewhere on the Swamp Thing payroll, they did their research on this tribe. That's very
somewhere
funny
along the lines. Yes.
Maybe they got somebody from DC Comics to help them after they saw the first episode and were just like, "Oh God, go over to the Swamp Thing animated studios and help those people out."
I was trying to look.
We can't have another cellophane S-throwing shield Superman power or his, like, lobotomizing kiss power. I had a friend of mine, who's an artist, do a mock-up on a blank Superman cover of Superman sticking his alien tongue into Lois Lane's brain to wipe away her memory of him being Superman when he kisses her. Because it's the only thing I can think of. Like, how does Superman make people forget who he is by kissing them? Oh, he lobotomizes them with his alien Kryptonian tongue. Very hentai-like.
Yeah. Find out more information about the Zingu if you go to Amazon-Indians.org. It actually goes over a lot of the different tribes of the Amazon, and there are some pages on the Zingu, so you can read about that in depth.
Now, I do have to give it up to the animated series for not making it seem like Swampy and Abigail were in any type of real relationship other than her wanting to help him, because they did portray her as a teenager.
She was young, right?
Yes. Right. In the comic book, they totally bang it up.
Yes.
And, or John Constantine then knocks her up.
Swamp Thing entered Constantine. Ooh. Into his consciousness. And then John, he's the vessel.
He's the vessel, yeah. It's like a surrogate.
Yes, exactly.
Yep. Yeah.
And then it's a great issue where, like, basically, once Swamp Thing goes away, well, John takes advantage of the moment, just for a little bit.
Not that he was trying to, He wasn't trying to take advantage. He just had to run away from the demon that basically chased him into the green, and he just kind of awoken back into his body, and it's like, oh, I'm here.
He's a team player.
It's not Swamp Thing anymore.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Do you have any more notes for the episode, Michael Ravenshadow? Before we jump to the third and final episode for this recording?
If I had notes, they'd have been out the window. I would have put them in the swamp myself.
Awesome, awesome. So,
yeah. Well, this is also the first episode where Dr. Arcane turns into that big spider bug thing.
That's right, yes. He turns into that weird-looking whatchamacallit.
Which, to be fair, like, he wanted immortality, right? Which also the fact that he had, like, Dracula ears kind of, like, stud out for me. And, like he had, like, spiky teeth. But you think maybe once he became, he kind of glossed over the fact that he also became an unman early on. Would you really want to be immortal if you were and now a purple-faced monster now? Do you think maybe he'd see the error of his ways?
Maybe. I got to point out that besides the great action, the amazing articulate action figures that Michael Ravenshadow brought in, there is a slew of Swamp Thing merchandise that is directly tied to this animated movie, cartoon series, with the style, the logo, and the look of Swamp Thing from it. Like a Swamp Thing video game for the Nintendo Entertainment System and Game Boy.
Oh, I remember that.
Yes, as well as a paint-by-numbers kit, a Battle for the Bayou board game, T-shirts, slippers, bop bags, sleeping bags, pajamas, pencil cases, chalkboard, crayons, coloring books, and Swamp Thing Adventure Guide.
They went all in. They're like, this is going to be a hit. Like, you know what? Fuck those turtles. We got Swamp Thing.
Yeah, and it was actually originally supposed to be on the NBC. It was turned down by CBS, but Fox, which was a fledgling network at the time, they hadn't launched their animation Batman the Animated Series, obviously, is another DC animated property that came in after Swamp Thing. They were kind of hit or miss still at the time, and they had just launched The Simpsons, so they weren't like the juggernaut they are today with their slew of crappy TV programming and DC stuff like a Gotham show, which is hit or miss.
You're right. I mean, and yeah, this also too, this was that time when it really sucked being like, you know, a fan of like action adventure shows, because it was the whole lot of scrutiny on violence. Yes, there was the, you know, these half an hour shows are a half an hour commercial, and you know the turtles had to stop even pulling their weapons out, or everyone had to fight.
Yeah,
robots.
Like Michelangelo couldn't use nunchucks. Yeah. He had to have a grappling hook.
So, like, by the time this came out, the censorship was definitely in full swing.
And it's funny is that years later, in 2003, Fox would launch with 4Kids TV the next Ninja Turtle cartoon series, which was, like, critically acclaimed because Peter Laird worked on that show with his team from Mirage to make it more closely resembling the comic books that they were originally based on, not the Pizza Time Chopping Dudes!
Cowabunga.
Yeah, the turtles only came out at night because they wanted to make a point. These are ninjas. Ninjas, turtles are also, like, hideous-looking monsters to the normal person. They should not be walking around in the daytime in disguises. They should only come out at night, which I thought, well, that's really brilliant.
Yeah.
And the turtles, yes, they had the white eyes because the mask obscured their eyes, but whatever. But they did use their weapons, and their weapons only made their feet and fists only made contact with the foot soldiers. When they fought the foot soldiers, who were human in the second iteration, they had weapon-to-weapon contact. But when they were to, like, bat them away or punch them or whatever, it was with their fist or feet, which is better than, obviously, them, like, just jamming the sword through the torso.
Right, right, right. Can we watch that show? It sounds really good.
So now we're going to go to the
this one.
Yeah, basically. Now we're going to go to the third episode of this amazing commercial.
All right. Third episode of Swamp Thing called Falling Red Star. Aired, according to Wikipedia, April 27th, 1991. Swamp Thing, Bayou Jack, and Tomahawk help NASA retrieve a nuclear-powered satellite that has crash-landed in the swamp. Meanwhile, Arcane desires the satellite for his own advantage.
I just love how NASA could just be like, hey, Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
Hey, NASA, what's up? Let me call you on the phone. The swamp phone.
Don't worry, guys. The Swamp Thing and Bayou Jack, they got this stuff. They'll take care of this.
Basically.
So one thing that just kind of irks me as a science-leaning nerd is radiation and nuclear material don't work like that. Yeah. Swamp Thing cannot absorb it and then transfer it back into its original container. It does not work like that. It's actually material, whether that's either a uranium or whatever the nuclear material is. That material needs to be taken out, and then that material needs to be replaced. It's not the nuclear or radioactive energy that you can contain and then transfer back. That just was like a pet peeve as I'm watching it. Like, no, no.
A couple other voice actors for this series. Again, man, the Curse of Swamp Thing. Don Frax, who was the voice of Dr. Arcane, died in 2016.
Oh, geez.
And I remember hearing that, but I didn't realize he was the voice of Arcane. He was tied to many different things, like La Femme Nikita. He was Walter on that show. He was in the original Heavy Metal movie. He was the substitute voice when Frank Welker couldn't do it of Dr. Claw on Inspector Gadget. So when Dr. Claw's voice changed,
there
he was the
voice. Two voices.
Yes. He was in Hemlock Grove,
which
was like the last big thing he did. He played Nikolai. He was in, oh man, I'm trying to find some good stuff he was in. He was on the X-Men cartoon series. He was the voice of Victor Creed, a.k.a. Sabretooth.
Nice. Okay.
That's where the big X-Men fan community was in uproar when he passed away, because he was the voice of that. He was on Cadillacs and Dinosaurs.
Oh,
do you remember that?
I do remember that.
Yeah. Did you ever watch that, Mr. Zeneca?
No, I didn't. What is this show?
Another show you could probably find on YouTube or other video streaming sites, just because it's not on DVD, so I'm not condoning piracy, but I don't know what else to tell you for stuff. Another actor who worked on Legend of Zelda, the animated series. Jeez. He worked on Police Academy. He was the voice of Alf, by the way.
Wow.
He was the voice of Alf for 26 episodes. Yeah, this guy had a long freaking career. And then we have Philip Atkin, who was the voice of Bayou Jack. He is still alive, thank God. He's from Jamaica, man.
Perfect.
He was on Flashpoint, which is a TV series that recently ended. Again, another actor who's got a freaking long-ass career. He was in Goosebumps, the TV series, for 5 episodes. He was in the X-Men animated series as well. He was the voice of Bishop.
Okay.
The Time Traveler.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, he's had his career playing, you know, African-American characters. There's no picture of him, so I don't know what he looks like, but I'm assuming, because all the characters he's playing from other shows, like Babar, are from Africa in some way. He was the voice of 100 different characters on Babar. Okay. And he was in War of the Worlds as well. He was Norton Drake, which I don't remember who that character was, but I believe he was African-American. If I'm wrong, please correct me. He's still alive, thankfully.
Well, in this episode, Bayou Jack gets turned into a huge praying mantis thing.
That was awesome. Where was that toy?
Exactly.
it actually came with the transducer.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I remember seeing that on the box because I was looking for these toys on eBay and, you know, really? Realizing I don't have $100 to spend on a toy.
Stop it. The transducer is not $100, is it?
Yes, it's like $75 minted box.
Oh, you got some stones offering that, asking for that.
I think that's Entertainment, the store that you work at here in Worcester, Massachusetts, sells some Swamp Thing toys once in a while. I've seen them.
I gotta take a look. We gotta stop
on card too. I think they're on the card.
Really?
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah. No, the mantis creature actually came with the transducer, so that when you flipped it, it would actually have the mantis.
Okay,
up here.
That's the toy I was thinking of, because I remember one of the toys did this, but I remember all the little henchmen came with the thing that you'd put on their shoulders so they could become the mutate, but there was no, I just broke it! collector's item. He's going to send it to college.
I was going to pay off my my mortgage, my student loans with that.
And that was the only one I remember in the commercial doing the flip. And you can watch all the Swamp Thing commercials on YouTube. Wow. We're not going to review those, but you can find them on YouTube for some nostalgia love.
Yeah, so also in this episode, Swamp Thing creates this huge Venus flytrap that apparently eats radiation or mutagen.
But not just any kind of radiation, Mr. Zeneca. What type of radiation were they talking about in this episode? Happened to turn Bruce Banner into a certain type
gamma
of
radiation.
Gamma rays.
Yeah. Which kind of like, well, that's not, yeah, where'd that come from?
Yeah, that would not apply.
Marvel cannot copyright gamma rays, so anybody can use it for anything you want it to be, as long as you don't use it for a plot device to turn something into a creature of some kind.
Fair, fair.
Because then Disney, can sue you now. Disney or Universal, whoever owns the copyright to the Hulk, and that's a whole other story. The Tree Lab, by the way, is a playset too. Did you find that, Mr. Zeneca?
The which one?
The Tree Lab is a playset.
Oh, I didn't. I never saw the tree set.
Yeah, the Tree Lab is a playset. In fact, it kind of reminded me, if you either one of you ever remember, what was the insect action figures called? Insectoids? Insectars?
Sectars, yeah. Yes. With like Dagon, they flew giant like
dragonflies,
or
a giant spider that flew too.
You had the gloves you could wear,
yes.
And like, oh yeah, yeah.
There was a giant tree playset for that.
You're right. Those, once again, I wish we could watch that show.
I don't know. I think that show was pretty bad, too.
Fair.
Did that tree set kind of look like the Ewok village?
Yes. In fact, I think it was taller. And in fact, I think it was the size of a small child.
In fact, Kenner...
I think I remember it now.
Kenner is notorious for pillaging previous toy lines, too, because I believe they took the Ewok village and made that into their Robin Hood, the Kevin Costner joint.
Yes, they did. I remember a video review pointing the two of them out.
And if you look at the Kevin Costner figures, they're actually repainted Green Arrow figures from Superpowers because they all have the G on their belt buckles with less movement. But they're big on repurposing or repackaging their molds or their toys.
What was the name of the action figure line that had the holograms for their chest?
Oh, Visionaries, dude.
Those are coming back. IDW is bringing them back.
Really?
Yes, and they're, of course, since they're owned by Hasbro, they're going to become part of the Hasbro joined universe. In fact, there's two series coming out: Visionaries, G.I. Joe versus, sorry, three G.I. Joe versus Visionaries, and Transformers versus Visionaries.
I would say slow it down, guys. Let's do one thing really well. Let's just I'm very excited, but like,
did you ever play with those, Mr. Zeneca, Visionaries?
I think I had one.
But you know what I'm talking about. They were like holograms that turned into monsters. Like, the good guys turned into animal spirits, but the bad guys turned into, like, demons and skeletons.
Yeah, yeah, they were Knights of the Magical Light,
man. Sticker.
Yeah, those were so... Yeah, that's right, because they were just a sticker on there. But they were really well-done holograms that looked like they were hollow. You know, even though it was, like, this flat surface with a hologram, you turned it in a certain way, it looked like the way holograms are supposed to be, with like a three dimension that you're looking inside. Very well done.
And they had
it
great
was amazing
playability
as a kid.
Yeah, and they had a cartoon that we should watch instead of Swamp Thing.
I'm sold. Should we put it on in studio?
It was released on DVD, too, at one time, yeah.
Interesting.
You can find it on bootleg on eBay.
Nice.
Let's go back to our notes about this.
Yeah. Okay, the Venus flytrap that Swamp Thing makes in order to, like, you know, get rid of the radiation and mutation abilities. Little known fact that there are actual plants out there that do absorb radiation.
Stop.
Sunflowers are one of them. Sunflowers and cattails. You can plant sunflowers and plant cattails around a radioactive area, and they will, through their root system, absorb the radiation in the soil. And then you would throw the plant away, like the stalks and the flowers, in, you know, radioactive containment, because they are clearing the land, and that radiation goes somewhere. It's basically cleaning the soil. That's why sunflowers are often used as a symbol for to reduce nuclear proliferation. Fun fact.
Wow.
That's a little more in-depth for a shitty children's cartoon.
See, now what came to mind when you were saying that, like, smartness, I remember the episode of G.I. Joe when there was a giant energy blob, and then Airtight used apples, because it turns out that apples contain a certain amount of, what's in, like,
Tylenol.
Oh, yeah, like, apples contain, what's the element in like a painkiller, and that killed the germ. Do you remember that episode? No.
No. I remember the episode where Lieutenant Falcon got, like, drugged out, and Cobra and G.I. Joe had to team up to fight drug dealers.
Oh, with the headmen?
Yeah.
They suck.
Speaking of G.I. Joe, by the way, the bat in this episode sounds like Chris Latta. Whenever the guy is in bat form, he sounds like Chris Latta, a.k.a. Cobra Commander.
You're right.
Is that
right.
Skin Man who turns
Skin
into
Man,
bat?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's played by Gordon Maston. It doesn't say any other voice acting cast, like, when he becomes the bat. But when he's the bat, it sounds like Cobra Commander. Not Starscream so much, which is the same voice actor, but
right.
more Cobra Commander.
You're right, yeah. I could see that.
Yeah, but that was played by a guy named Gordon Maston, who is still alive today, worked on The Day After Tomorrow, Source Code. Whew! The Adventures of Super Mario Bros. 3, where he was Big Mouth Koopa.
Nice.
And Droids. He was on Droids.
Oh.
Star Wars Droids.
Wow.
That's a great cartoon we should cover one day. Oh, in my notes, I also put down those vehicles running on solar power because the carbon emissions are probably killing the swamp. So we
already went over that one.
Yeah,
I do have one Swamp Thing Constantine thing that I want to get in this episode.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Swamp Thing appeared for Constantine's 40th birthday party.
Ho ho!
And guess what his gift to Constantine was? He actually made a marijuana plant grow and then dry out so that the entire party could smoke their brains out for the entire 40th birthday party.
Oh, it was that's my favorite issue of all time is John's 40th birthday party. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
He gets
yes.
summoned, and then, he tells John asks one of his buddies, like, do you still have that plant? And, yeah, they're all getting toe up. And even Zatanna, mm-hmm. JLA favorite, she's actually at one point she's levitating and she's doing spells backwards. And I believe it's like I am pissed or I am fucked up backwards because she's so
stoned.
Yeah, yeah. Which is great. Which I think that got some flack actually too. But yeah, no, that's super awesome. I love that issue.
According to online sources, Kenner invested $6 million into the Swamp Thing toy line.
Wow.
And according to toy sales at that time, outsold both G.I. Joe and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which were the two most popular toy lines at the time.
Wait, say that again. You're saying that Swamp Thing outsold Turtles and G.I. Joe?
Yep.
That's fake news. I think that can't be true.
According to this, it is. By the way, all five episodes were, again, only released in the UK on DVD for $9.99.
Really?
Yes. And I do remember seeing this DVD several times, but always wondering what the 2 meant on it, and someone said, oh, you can't play that here.
Really? Okay, well, so at that time,
it was
Joe's
an 88-minute DVD.
So some of that stuff was tapering off, right? Because that was around, like, the Headman era and G.I. Joe. They were doing, like, the Eco-Warriors
yeah.
stuff. I don't know.
But no,
if
this
would...
was released on DVD in like 2004.
Oh, 2004. Okay.
Well, yeah,
I was talking about the outselling Joes and.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because Swamp Thing had like a very big like eco-friendly message to it.
Okay.
But for some reason, the toys sold. What was that?
That's Skin Man. I think he's coming.
Oh, okay. I think. Is that you, Mr. Zeneca?
No.
No.
Not
okay.
me.
All right. What is it saying? Oh, so they compiled it through this thing called Animation Station. Animation Station was a distribution company by Dick, D-I-C,
I'm 13, I apologize, put out
animated episodes of cartoon series that didn't have any type of pickup. So they just kept buying the copyright to release them on DVD, no matter what it was. They did Biker Mice from Mars, they did Tales from the Crypt, the original Tales from the Crypt cartoon series, they did Street Sharks.
Okay.
So we're talking like really obscure ones, you know what I mean? Not like G.I. Joe or Transformers. And Swamp Thing is, let's face it, pretty obscure.
Right.
I think they tried to get Toxic Avenger, but Toxie, even the cartoon series, as obscure as it was, is owned by Trauma Films.
Gotcha.
Trauma, yeah.
Which we tried watching one episode of. Mr. Zeneca, I think, watched one episode, and I did.
Oh,
my
God.
We're not doing this. This
it was worse. Okay, if it could have been worse than Swamp Thing, it definitely was.
Yes, yes.
It's completely repetitive over and over and over. He's talking about just...
Save
you know,
the environment!
What's so funny
oh, my God.
I remember...
I hope we never review that show.
I was way too young when I saw the first Toxic Avenger movie, and I thought it was just a a superhero movie. Whoa, I was wrong. But it's so funny that that became a cartoon. If you've seen the first film, at least, it's definitely R-rated. There's nudity, there's crazy violence.
Totally.
I would just love if to see like a parent, my son Johnny likes that little cartoon. Let's get the movie version. Bring that home. See what happens.
Yeah, no, the movie has a special place in my heart. But when I went to see the Toxic Avenger cartoon show, because I've got Roku and there's several channels free on Roku that have that. So I went to see it and thinking like, well, you know, I saw it as a kid. I thought it was all right. As an adult, you see just how repetitive everything is. All the statements that Toxie makes are made like 5 or 6 times throughout the entire first episode. And the second episode, not any good. I mean, I actually had to turn it off because it was just so repetitive.
That show
and
makes
kids,
me,
you know, they love repetition.
That show makes me want to burn styrofoam in my backyard. I don't even care. I throw stuff in the ocean. It makes me hate the environment.
That rates right up there with the Superman standalone graphic novel Save the Earth, where Superman recycles, and then there's like a big message at the end of the graphic novel about Superman recycling. Oh, my God. That came out at the time when that report came out that the only two things you can see from space are the Great Wall of China and the New York landfill.
Mm-hmm.
What a scare tactic.
Oh, man.
I mean, I'm all for recycling. However, they have pointed out several times the only two out of the three things they tell you to recycle, plastic, metal, and paper, the only two of those you should actually be recycling that makes any difference to the environment at all is plastic and metal. Paper recycling does nothing.
Right.
J.K. Rowling wanted all the copies of Harry Potter Part 7, whatever the fuck it was called, the Deathly Hallows?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. To be printed entirely on recyclable paper. They said we don't have enough recyclable paper to do that. So they shipped it in boxes made of recyclable paper to make up for it because they just did not have enough recyclable paper to print that many copies of one of the most highly anticipated novels in modern day history of literature,
which
is what it was, on recyclable paper. We just didn't have it. So they compromised saying we'll ship it in boxes made of recyclable paper, which was she was fine with. She understood afterwards, but she was very like, I don't want to see this thing coming to my house if it's not printed on recyclable paper. But afterwards, it became this kind of thing like, recyclable paper doesn't actually do anything. Trees are growing, like, everywhere.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But metal...
Yeah, they're farmed for that purpose.
Exactly. So this, like, I'm glad Swamp Thing at least didn't end every episode with, like, the kids getting into, like, a burning building and Swamp Thing having saved them and goes, did you check your smoke alarm batteries? Remember to check your smoke alarm batteries, friends. Now we know, Swamp Thing! And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe.
Swamp Thing! Which every episode of G.I. Joe and, of course, like Masters of the Universe had to have a moral at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
In today's episode, we talk about peer pressure and doing drugs because only He-Man can be on steroids.
Right.
I'm done with the notes for this episode.
I've gone through my notes. So.
Yeah. So we'll be back in 2 weeks with the last two episodes of this fantastic Fox animated TV show, Swamp Thing, in which Swamp Thing... deals with...
I bet mutants.
...a Native American ancient Indian burial ground. So Swamp Thing goes to Maine?
Oh, yeah, the very special Tomahawk-centric episode.
Yes. Yeah, in fact, they go to the Nipmuc burial ground up in Exeter, Maine. Where is it? What town is that?
Oh,
We are terrible Stephen King fans.
Yes.
Do you know what town Pet Sematary takes place in, Mr. Zeneca?
I don't know. It's a town in Maine.
Yeah, that's just it. Okay.
All of his books take place in Maine.
But so we'll have better Stephen King jokes when we prepare for them in 2 weeks.
Yes.
But I just thought that was funny watching that upcoming episode. They talk about the ancient Indian burial ground. I'm like, it's the Pet Sematary.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been great if, like, Arcane had buried a bunch of pets there and they rose up as, like, monsters.
See, that's a show.
That would be a great episode.
That'd be outrageous.
Yeah. No, they didn't do that.
I wonder if you're watching this show, could you use, every time the transducer is used, take a drink?
Oh, it's definitely a Swamp Thing drinking game.
In the first three episodes, that transducer was used so many goddamn times that I'm sure that by the end of the third episode, because I'm watching these in a row, I would have been drunk.
Oh, absolutely. By the way, on a website I cannot pronounce because it's not srbissett.blogspot, don't ask me, he lists some of the Swamp Thing products that were out in stores, including Swamp Thing stamper, like you stamp stuff with, pencil sharpener,
Bop Bag, which is like a bag that kids would hit.
Yep, punch a bag.
Yep, I had one with He-Man on it. Swamp Thing Green Chalk. Swamp Thing Slippers.
Jesus.
These are all on his website. Here, I'll turn it so you can see it. Swamp Thing, kind of like on the slippers, looks like Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah, she does. I would actually. Those are pretty dope.
Yeah, I will post a link to this on the Facebook page, Mrs. Zetica, so you can check it out and order some for your son.
I don't think he's into Swamp Thing. Not after watching that show.
Maybe get him into the TV series. That had a kid-friendly little thing to it because they put the little Joey boy in every episode until Arcade shipped him off to nowhere and we never heard from him ever again.
He's more into Teen Titans Go right now.
Oh, God. What did you do?
I raised a monster.
You got to get him into the other Teen Titans cartoon, you know, the one that came out in like 2004 with Ron Perlman.
No, we've actually seen that one too.
Oh, okay. And you know that Young Justice is coming back.
Yes.
Season 3.
We're looking forward to that, and we saw the Justice League, and he watched Justice League Dark with me and all that, so. But Teen Titans Go is a nice little fun turn-off-your-brain romp.
Yeah, I guess it is.
I can't
like, make fun of Mr. Zeka too much. I'm showing my kid Transformers Animated, and it's as goofy of a cartoon of Transformers as you can get.
Yeah.
When it's serious with, like, with the Decepticons, the Autobots are a little bit goofier. It's called Transformers Animated for a reason, because they wanted to make it, like, a animated cartoon like Looney Tunes in a tiny bit of a way. So we'll be back in 2 weeks with the Dead TV Podcast. Where can we find your show, Michael Raven Shadow?
Yeah, check out Trick or Treat Radio. We're available on iTunes. Well, actually, I believe iTunes is now called Apple. Didn't it change its name? Isn't that a big thing? Isn't it Apple?
Is it? Oh, I don't know about this.
That's a bit. Oh, yeah, see, that's a new right there. Mr. Zeneca knows all about that. But whatever it's called now, it was called iTunes, so you can find us there. TrickOrTreatRadio.com, the Deadites TV. We drop every Friday morning. There's three guarantees in life, death, taxes, and Trick or Treat Radio every Friday morning.
Awesome. I thought you guys aired it on Wednesday. Wait.
We do. Yes, so thank you. Thank you. That's a good segue, Dr. Chris. We do our video broadcast on Wednesdays.
Okay.
Available on YouTube, and the show drops on Fridays.
And exactly. Don't forget, even though you're coming back in 2 weeks for the last two episodes, to talk about what's happening on October Friday the 13th.
Ooh, absolutely. It's very exciting. Not only is October a very exciting time, I think, for lots of people, but the Deadites are returning to the stage at Worcester, Massachusetts, the Cove Music Hall. It's going to be the start of Rock and Shock Weekend, which is at the DCU Center, a weekend October 13th, 14th, and 15th. Horror, celebrities, icons, and it really just...
I'll be there, you'll be there.
Oh, it's going to be commotion.
And are we celebrating the miraculous recovery of one of your band members that weekend, too?
Yes. Frontman Dynamo Mars. He stuck it to cancer twice, so
yes.
He will be returning.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah. It's been kind of crazy. Cancer can go fuck themselves because...
They beat it like Swamp Thing beats Arcane.
Exactly. it's a lot cooler. So cancer is going away and rock's going to happen. So, yeah, check that out.
Cool. And Mr. Zeneca, where can people find you? Do you have any special announcements coming up in the month of September?
Yes. You can actually find me on Twitter at elegantlykinky. And you can see my upcoming events at elegantlykinky.com. And actually, our Cherry Noir 5th anniversary party is coming up October 7th. I'm giving away over $1,200 worth of prizes, bringing my prize wheel back to the party. And so I've got, like, butt toys and vibes and paddles and kink toys and masks because, you know, it's October. Like, a whole bunch of stuff that I'm giving away to all of my loyal patrons that have been partying with us for 5 years.
And speaking of loyal patrons, don't forget you can become a member of our Patreon over at the Radio of Horror. If you type in Radio of Horror Patreon, donate $1, less than a cup of coffee, unless you live in New England and go to Cumberland Farms, then it is the price of a coffee.
Fair.
According to that guy from New York. Michael Rappaport, who apparently hates the Red Sox, by the way.
Look, I started drinking tea because of those commercials. I can't have it.
Yeah, and thanks to our current sponsor, happens to be Wicked Chronic in Natick, Massachusetts, where you can go to find all of your herbal chronic needs, as well as get a tarot card reading or delve into some archaic witchcraft, wicked witchery, and other things they happen to have there. They are located on Route 9 in Natick, Massachusetts. And I am Dr. Chris, and you can find all the information about the show and the Radio Horror Network under www.radiohorror.com, as well as radiohorror.wordpress.com and Radio Horror on Facebook, as well as the Dead TV Podcast Facebook page, too. Thank you, Michael Ravenshadow, for coming in the studio with us once again.
Thank you very much.
Join us back in 2 weeks for the last two episodes of Swamp Thing, everybody. Have a good night.